y a que yo me muera, sé que tendrás que llorar. Quisiste, pero vas a estar muy triste y así te me vas a quedar. Con dinero y sin dinero, yo hago siempre lo que quiero y mi palabra es la ley. No tengo trono ni reina, ni nadie que me comprenda.
So that's why I'm never going back to Washington, D.C. That's a long story. Anyways, now that we're started on the podcast, welcome to Como Estas, episode 33, let's say. It's the Saturday morning, 2:39 a.m. We're just after the anniversary show. It was definitely a main event I'll remember for a long time. We're here. I'm here with Rob.
Hey.
TKD.
Hello.
Cecilia.
Hi.
And Jose Manuel Guillen is here too. We dragged him along.
Hola.
We're just going to talk about the DTU show we saw on, some of us saw on Thursday. I think we're going to talk about that quickly because we really want to talk about the anniversary show too.
But as long as we have Jose Manuel here, we'll talk DTU. He's the expert.
Yeah. What did you think of the DTU show overall?
Me?
Yeah.
I think very impressive. I thought it was much better than I was expecting. Not that I was expecting a bad show, just I wasn't expecting such a professional product. Like, I saw all the matches were very clean. You could tell that these are trained guys who know what they're doing in there. I thought both the three ways were really good. The best I thought was the Dinastia Crazy, because Articus wasn't there, so it was a three way, and the Nerds had a good match against each other. But surprising to me, because I'm not really a fan of, well, if you heard the last podcast and me talk about the Pagano match, I hate the extreme stuff, but the main event was really good. I got into it. That was clearly the match the crowd came for. They didn't just do hitting each other with weapons. They did moves. It was like a, more like a Big Japan hardcore match than a, I don't even know what the other would be. But basically what we saw the night before with Pagano. It was just hitting each other with stuff. And the only match that wasn't so hot was the four-way, but it's not like it was terrible or anything. And it had a point because it was Halloween's final match, so they had a nice ceremony for him afterwards. But overall, very impressive DTU production, the way they did it. I loved seeing the little kid, the cheeky nerd in the opener, or he was Luigi on that night. And what do you think, Jose Manuel?
Well, the value of DTU, and we're talking about, we're coming to Pachuca, it's that they run these shows with other talent. They don't need huge stars from other companies. That's a huge value, and that's for the last three shows, three good shows of DTU. They have an enormous talent, young talent, and I like the Dinastia Crazy. I think was the best match of the night. I like the Nerds.
Yeah,
there are big surprises in the future with the Nerds, and this is like the first show on the way to the anniversary show in December.
Mm-hmm. That'll be good. Yeah, I thought that's a big difference between DTU and the other major indie groups, that they're doing more developing their own guys, I would say, where more the other ones are more looking for guys who are trained elsewhere and bringing them in because they've reached a certain limit where they are and they need to do more stuff. DTU seems like they've created their own characters, the Nerds. They've taken advantage of the Dinastia Crazy a lot. They have their main event are guys that who all came up in DTU instead of being outcast from another promotion. Ciclope, Violento Jack, Iroboy, Meteor Extremo. It's not a style of match I like, but they worked very hard, and the crowd really loved that match. I have to agree that the Dinastia Crazy match was the best match I saw. I like the Nerds, but I thought the Nerds went a little bit longer than they needed to go.
Mm-hmm.
Especially the chair stuff that they did, the unprotected chair shots, which I don't have as much problem as other people, but it was done so early and didn't really end up meaning anything in the end. It added blood, but didn't add much more. But they did some cool stuff. The Cerebro Negro, Fantasma de la Opera,
fun match.
That was a fun match. They were entertaining. It wasn't like they were doing a super moves match, but they did a lot of character stuff that worked pretty well. There's a section of the crowd who really loves Ovette and really behind him, and they played off that well. So
that's the thing about a match like that. If you put that on a show like the DTU show, where every match has high flying and big moves, and then you just get a regular match with guys doing funny stuff, and they just know what they're doing, and they're very charismatic, it really helps the show, because it's better overall. You don't get to see... every show is better when you have different styles. That's one of the things that was really evident this year in wrestling. Like, mm-hmm. when you see a show, you want different styles. You don't want just WWE style, just New Japan style, just AAA style. You want everything. And DTU really presented that. You had every style yesterday. 5 of the 6 matches got money.
Yeah.
I was surprised by that. Even the opener, I thought... Because the opener took place before they did the official introduction, so it's kind of like a dark match.
Yeah.
But even the fans threw money at that.
Yeah, I think this guy, Luigi, has a great future in DTU.
Do you know how old he is?
I think he has like 14, 13 years.
Yeah. People aren't going to believe that.
It's like his third match.
Yeah.
Wow.
So it's really impressive. Other guys in the roster, they didn't want him to wrestle that night. But he did a really good job.
Yeah.
And there's another lunatic.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. His son of Ovette.
Yeah.
He works with Poros in the mini Poros.
Oh, yeah. We saw him at ringside.
Yeah. I think he was running around collecting all the gear and stuff.
Yeah. And he was selling shirts during the show. He was busy.
And I like Chicoche.
Yeah, Chicoche
was excellent.
Yeah, he knows his character very well. He does funny things. Crowd loves him.
Big guy who can jump on the ropes and do crazy stuff.
It always feels like... I mean, his best run was a few years ago in IWRG. It feels like...
The matches with Black Terry were
There should be a role for him like that someplace. Just has to find it.
And there's another guy that is Exotico.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He's a guy from Pachuca.
Yeah.
Had a lot of years in Pachuca, and he's right now part of this talent of DTU.
Yeah.
This part that they discover, they already know in Pachuca, but they discover in this new part of DTU. So it's exciting on the way coming to the anniversary show.
Yeah, DTU does a good job of where they go. They find new people, pick up Ciclope and Medio Extremo were started in this arena. Era Power is when they went to Veracruz, I believe, and they have guys from Leon.
Irapuato were there too.
Irapuato.
Perro Negro.
Perro Negro y Joven Maravilla.
Yeah. So
he was good. I liked Joven Maravilla.
They take advantage about, because they're the indie promotion that goes most around the country, and they find people to bring back with them if they impress them.
I think Joven Maravilla is the new Drastic Boy in the promotion. So it's a bright future for DTU, I think.
So prepare to see him in Dragon Gate about 2020, maybe.
and if you're impressed by, if you watch Dragon Gate and you've been impressed by Flamita and Drastic Boy, this is where they came from.
Yeah.
DTU.
Yeah.
Back when they were even super young. It was a time that Flamita was in the kids' matches.
Yeah.
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 We find like a tape from the first matches of Flamita in DTU.
Probably like 15, 16, really young?
Like 14.
Whoa.
Oh, yeah. He started...
Because then they were working with like Super Crazy at the Liga, Juvenil.
No,
that was different?
He wasn't in one of those, but...
But
there was a DTU Kids at some point, I remember that. They have DTU Kids, like a category?
Uh-huh.
Is that the little guys that wrestled before the show?
No, DTU Kids was the Chiquinerts, Pequeños Porros.
Oh, the same guys there now. Okay. I love those guys. I saw a video, the show they did the night before Pachuca, where they had the Chiqui Porros against the Chiqui Nerds and Masito. And one of the Chiqui Nerds did a dive off the balcony.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. You know that would be illegal in the U.S.
Yes. There would be so many people protesting and angry after one DTU show in the U.S.
But the young talent of DTU is starting like a 14, 15 years, 15 years old.
So it's good. It's good to get guys. I mean, in the U.S., you can't get started at that age. You have to get started, you know, if you have parent permission, maybe. But
but you
won't get booked on any shows.
Yeah. They really don't want to train you before 18. No,
the Briscoes had that problem when they started out in CZW.
Mm-hmm.
They were underage. They couldn't work. They could only work, I think, in Philadelphia. They could only work in Delaware. They couldn't work in Philadelphia, New York, because the commission wouldn't let them wrestle. So It's good that there are no rules in Mexico.
Yeah, the guy in the main event started at 14. Yeah. The guy in the main event today, so it can turn out okay for you.
Yeah.
What's your opinion about Halloween? The last extreme match.
The last extreme match wasn't so good. It was kind of a mess.
Well, it was the last extreme match in DTU.
Yes, it's a very narrow specification, which may not hold up anyways. But
he looks injured, honestly. Mm-hmm. Clearly, he's been through a lot in his career.
Yeah.
But if he's really going to quit hardcore matches, I think that's good for him.
Yeah.
I think he still has something to offer with his brain, maybe, for the business.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But
you might not be belong in the ring. Although, I thought the most impressive is that he somehow found orange cargo pants. I don't even know where you get those. But those look very sharp.
Damien was moving well. We saw him two nights in a row. Yeah. Caralucha and then DTU. He's old, but he's moving.
And he wrestled twice yesterday. Or
three matches.
Yeah.
On Wednesday and the DTU match.
Yeah. Caralucha WMC? No, not WMC.
Caralucha Nessa?
Nessa, yeah.
And Santa Clara, Catepec.
Wow, yeah.
That's crazy.
That's a lot of driving. That's a lot of getting around the shows.
On that Wednesday, because like even Maximo was bragging, he worked four shows that day.
Yeah.
That's crazy. It's from one semi-main event to the main event to another main event. Mm-hmm. It's another example of how they do it different here in Mexico. Can't do that in the U.S.
So the distance are too far.
What would you say was the attendance? We were guessing the attendance. I guessed somewhere maybe 200.
I think like 250, yeah. 250? 300.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Is that good for them in that building?
No. Last match they have like 400, 500, which was really good for GTU.
Yeah.
But it was good.
Yeah.
The rain, the cold.
Yeah.
It's good.
The arena, it was my first time in the arena, obviously, me and Cubs' first time in the arena. It's dark. I thought it was cold. Cubs didn't think it was that cold.
No.
But there was like very little lighting, but it's just the perfect atmosphere.
Yeah.
I loved it because you're so close to the action. The sound is
too close sometimes.
Trapped together, yeah. Cubs got his chair destroyed by a dive, although it was kind of already broken.
Yeah.
I think it's the last arena made of wood.
Yeah,
you pay attention.
The floor is cement, and then there's like four planks of wood that have been there for 20-25 years and are breaking. And places, if you step, it falls further into the floor. It's not an even surface or a safe surface.
Almost like San Juan Pantitlan.
Yeah, it's San Juan is a lot better.
I think so.
That.
But we saw you on the Masucha TV. You put up the clip of Exotico hurting himself the same day in the same arena.
Mm-hmm.
And then when we got there, that's all I was thinking about when I was looking at the ground. His head hit this ground, and he's still alive? How is that even possible? Because no mats, no nothing. It's crazy. Was that the building where, I think it was Perico, did the moonsault off the third level?
Yeah, the same.
That insane. Mm-hmm. I was trying to figure out how he could even do that, just looking how high that is. And I don't suggest that. It was
crazy.
He'd never do it again. Yeah.
Okay, anything else you want to say about the DTU show?
I hope I get to go to another one.
Yeah, it was a good time. We enjoyed the experience. Everyone was nice to us there. It was a good ride back and forth. We ate well.
Congratulations to the DTU guys.
Yeah.
They're doing a good job.
Yeah. Today we saw the CML anniversary show, and if you're listening to this, you probably also saw it because the link was floating around free for anyone to watch.
Just as I predicted on the last podcast.
Yeah,
I remember that. I listened to the podcast, and I remember that specific words that you said.
Nobody listens to me. Mm-hmm. I tell the truth.
Yeah, this is a day where Rob was right, so he's going to be insufferable for about the next 12 years.
That's the podcast title. Rob was right.
One thing about the DTU show that I was surprised. When they finished the matches, they came back to the dressing room.
Oh, no.
It's a good thing. And they started to check on Twitter what about Lucha Block and Rob Piper said about their matches.
Yeah.
Which was really cool, guys.
But I actually got mad at that in the middle because I was only saying good things because the show was good.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Uh-huh.
But then I told Cubs, we need to have a bad match now because I don't want them to think I'm only saying good things because I know they're reading. But it was a good show, so I meant everything I said.
Yeah.
But when Black Terry Jr. came and told us, oh, they're reading your tweets backstage, I said, oh, no, I better be careful. Don't say anything, you know.
Yeah.
Because the guys think that you don't like DTU. that you didn't like DTU. Yeah.
I don't like hardcore wrestling, mm-hmm. but the main event yesterday was good. Yeah. I remember last year we went to, where was the show where we were on the, we went Angel. To Arena Querétaro
yeah. Yeah.
with for Chilanga Mass. Uh-huh. And on the bus ride back, there was a guy sitting in front of me. I didn't know who he was because he had no mask, right? Yeah. So, and then he started talking to me about how come I don't like the hardcore wrestling. Uh-huh. And I said, and I explained, and he said, but why don't you like my matches? And I said, who are you? You know, I don't know who I'm talking to. And he said, oh, Aero Boy. Yeah. So then I'm like, oh, I started to explain to him because in the past, DTU was different for me because it wasn't just the main event was extreme. Mm-hmm. There was three or four matches that were extreme. Yeah. And in every match, even if it was an extreme match, they put the barbed wire on the ropes.
Yeah.
And then the guys who aren't in extreme matches would run into the barbed wire ropes like it's nothing.
Mm.
But then in the next match, the guys would be scared of the barbed wire ropes. And there's no logic to what they do. But now, it seems like promotions like XMW, they do the everything is hardcore. Yeah. And DTU, because you can't, if you do a hardcore match, you can't really do a classic match mm-hmm. after it. It has to be... That has to be the last match.
Mm.
So I think Crazy Boy runs DTU, right?
Yeah. Mm.
I think he's gotten good. He figured it out. He has the right formula for his shows.
Yeah.
And I don't mind hardcore wrestling. I just don't want to see three matches of hardcore on a show. And I don't want to see hardcore wrestling where it looks like one of the guys shouldn't even be a wrestler in the first place. He shouldn't even be in the ring because he's just falling all over the place.
Yeah.
The guys yesterday are professionals.
Yeah.
They did. They tried the Kudo Driver. They did flips off the top rope.
Yeah. The hardcore stuff added to the match they had, but if they took out every light tube and every up back, it would still have been a good match. The fans would still have been happy with that match.
Mm-hmm.
Good.
Okay.
Right now, the anniversary show.
Anniversary yes. show.
They were not reading our tweets backstage at the anniversary show. Yeah. I bet you anything.
Yeah. No, because we weren't sending serious stock nice messages.
That's a lie, because Puma was retweeting everybody.
Yes, he was just looking, and I didn't even tag him, and he was favoring stuff, but he looks... So, of course, that's the most important match on the show is the Puma King match.
Wow.
In the opener, teaming Fugo, facing Fugo Panther.
So you want to talk about, like, attendance first?
Attendance. 85%?
Well, there was an incorrect report on Twitter.
Yes.
By
someone was wrong on the internet.
Right. It said 97%.
No.
We have five people in the room.
Unless...
And none of us would say 97%.
Unless 12% were held by the scalpers while the show was going on.
Right.
They didn't sell 97% out. And maybe they did more than like 85% because there were tickets that weren't used. But the mid-upper level on the blue side was very empty.
Like behind the cage. There's a cage in front of there.
The right? balcony.
The yeah. balcony. And if you looked around, there were empty seats in that area and the other color sections as well. And the top section was not as packed full as it was for Atlantis Ultimo Guerrero. So tickets, they sold the most expensive tickets, they had no problem, and the cheapest tickets, they did pretty well. But in between, they didn't do as well as they had mm-hmm. other years.
I would say, what do you guys say? I'd say 85.
Yeah.
85 to 90.
Yeah.
Depending on how good everyone...
But yeah, it felt fuller last year for Atlantis Ultimo Guerrero. It didn't look like there was a seat to be had anywhere.
Do you think they would have got the extra 10-15% if LA Park, if someone cut off LA Park's mic?
Yeah. I think that's the difference. If they would have had them, they would have had...
I think they would have had full house.
Because they would have had the general interest that the last second people would have came and just shown up to see them.
Yeah, but it would have been a much more exciting match. And it wouldn't have had a week of people being annoyed with them about the whole situation. That they got pressed more about how they got rid of these people and people aren't happy than about that they were having Atlantis for December.
Since the theme of the podcast is going to be Rob was right, I should throw in one Rob was wrong because
not
I.
Not every time.
Sorry?
Not every time.
Not every time. But, like, for now, for example, I was the one who said I thought it was going to be a very angry crowd tonight.
Yeah.
I thought they were going to chant Park or Wagner, bad things about CMLL, but for the most part, everybody enjoyed themselves.
Yeah.
Nobody got mean chants. They were very excited when they knew it was time for the main event. The whole arena just suddenly, like, you could feel they're paying attention, they're ready to see the match. I like something like that, where it feels like a real main event.
They didn't care as much about the undercard matches, because there was no reason to care about most of the undercard matches. But so the guys should generally work hard, and they got them into a couple of the matches by the end of the match. But all their criticisms about the matches not being booked well pretty much were correct, because they were just matches thrown out there. You want to go match by match?
Sure.
Okay, so opener, Fugo, The Panther, and Esfinge versus Vierce, Disturbio, and Puma. The Rudos took the second and third fall. This one was... The other problem was a lot of these matches had slow starts, and the crowd was really quick to start whistling and getting at them because they wanted action right away. But by the time they got to the third fall and they were doing all sorts of big spots and diving around, I thought they got the crowd back into it, and I thought it was a pretty good match. And maybe not the killer match. It would have been on another show with a crowd who cared about it, but it was still a good match.
If you compare it to last year's opener, last year was much better. It had the Cats against the Casas family. But this was good. I mean, nothing wrong with it. It's not something you'll remember, but to open up a show, maybe you do a match like this where you don't do so much stuff so that nobody can follow you. Everybody looked very professional coming to the ring. I like Disturbio's new look.
Oh, yes, that was...
Esfinge looked very good, trapped in the little helmet thing that he had. Puma had nice gear. The Panther was dressed like a tricolor, the three colors.
Yeah.
And I thought, Puma's a star. If you watch this match, how can Puma be in opening matches or second matches? The guy is so talented. And it's always a joy to watch Virus live. Just an amazing technical wrestler. They did very good in the third fall, building to the finish. And the crowd really liked to see Virus win on a big show. Because he never gets to be on the anniversary shows. What about you guys?
I don't have a whole lot to add, except it felt like a good match, nothing more, nothing less. One spot I remember is Fuego doing the over the rope arm drag in front of us.
Yeah,
that was cool. That got a good pop from me.
That was a spot that you don't get every week. In all the matches they did a couple extra spots instead of just normal routine. They were just big spots for the moment.
I think by the end, the only thing I could say was, Virus is Virus. I like him very, very much. Anytime I get to see him, I enjoy his matches a lot. You know, and he was no disappointment this time.
It's a really good reward for Virus, being in the anniversary show. I think for Puma, it's good to be in the anniversary show. With all the card that they put on this anniversary show, I think for Puma it's good to be there. For all the disappointments of the people that they want another stars coming in these cards. I really like Virus. He's a great, great technical wrestler. I enjoy the super kicks from Puma.
Mm-hmm.
They're great. The front cracker.
Yeah.
It was amazing.
Mm-hmm.
I think that for Disturbio, the gear is one of the problems that Disturbio had.
Yeah.
And with this new image from Disturbio, I think he's in a good way to be one of the CMLL superstars in the future.
He looks much more professional and less like an indie wrestler at a knockoff show kind of thing.
And he's very charismatic, I think.
Oh, yes.
It just, like you said, sometimes even he's so charismatic, he's wearing a t-shirt, or he's not wearing a t-shirt, and sometimes that's worse.
Second match was Maximo, Stuka, and Guru Meyer Jr., who beat... Yeah, they won. They beat Dragon Rojo.
No, they lost. He packaged Pile Driver.
Oh, that's right. They lost to Dragon Rojo. Rey, Scorpion, and Popular win in the third fall. Rey Scorpion gave Maximo the package, the El Roca, or it's a Drukan Mortal, or we have to have 15 different names for the same move in the promotion. They did a whole bunch of Maximo and Rey Scorpion back and forth because they'd feud before, and they could watch through it. It's not like they're going to feud again. It's probably just something that could through the match, and the crowd got into it. The crowd was really behind Maximo. He was the first technical that really, really cheered on the show, and Stuka and Meyer did their big moves on the show. Meyer got into the crowd. He made us wait for it, but he eventually did the Topkin Hilo into the crowd. Stuka did the splash onto the ramp.
The Revolution normally doesn't do it to the ramp. That was surprising.
The Revolutionaries didn't get as many big spots, but they got the win, so that's probably fine for them.
I was surprised that Scorpion pinned Maximo clean. Maybe we'll get a title match. Maybe not. He had his title with him.
No, they'll never remember this happened.
But Dragon Rojo was pretty funny during this match. One point, he took a beer from the guy sitting right in front of us.
Yeah, cameras missed that.
Another point, he jumped right into the crowd and sat on some lady's lap in the front row before he came back to the ring.
Yeah.
So he was having a good time being on this show.
Yeah.
I thought all the technicals were excellent. Maximo is... I can't even explain to you how popular he is live. The crowd just goes crazy when his music hits, and anytime he tries to kiss somebody, he tried to do his little deal where he walks the ropes and does a Frankensteiner on a scorpion, but I think he couldn't get the right momentum on the ropes, so he just did an arm drag, which looked good.
Saved it really well.
Saved it, yeah. You would have never known, unless you're like a nerd like me, you wouldn't know what he was really going for. And they did very good building to the finish in the third fall, making you wait for all the spectacular moves. And then a scorpion got the win. I thought this was my second best match of the night.
Yeah, I think so. What do you think?
I don't have really anything else to add. I do agree it was the second best match of the night. It was really enjoyable to watch, and it's sort of like, you know, if the CML undercard were routinely filled with matches like that, there would be a lot less complaints about the promotion.
Did you like the match, Cecilia?
I did, you know, from the very start, because I think Maximo's, you know, toy puppy, got the night.
Yeah.
You know, it was amazing to see the dog all around the ring. And also, I thought they were all good, but I thought that Stuka, you know, also worked very hard this, you know, tonight. And he had a special mask. I don't know if it was very noticeable during the transmission, but it was an anniversary show, special edition.
Yeah. 82.
Yeah.
82. Yeah. I think, and we're talking about that, I think Guerrero Maya has everything to be the superstar of the technicals of CMLL.
Yes.
He works really good. That's the reason he became a runner-up in the Musca de un Ídolo. He's really good. Stuka, they do the same thing all the anniversary show. He's always a great wrestler. He's in a really good way. It was strange to see Maximo, the CMLL War Heavyweight Champion, in the second match of an anniversary show.
And it's not like he's like a champion no one likes. He was one of the most more over guys, like you said, on the show. I mean, he's so over that he really should be getting the push that they try to give Mystico, because the crowd would actually accept him at that level. But he's on the second match for whatever reason.
But he's really good.
Yeah, he's good.
He's a really good wrestler.
I think people don't realize that. They see the gay stuff.
Yeah.
But they don't notice he's actually very good.
I mean, he's not going to get... He was good before, but he's improved a lot this year, too. He's not a guy who sold. He's a guy who could have sold just doing his shtick for the next 20 years and got by, but he's raised his game once he got that title.
He got great value to this. I think the wrestling fans don't notice that, but it's a great value that Maximo. He's a good wrestler. He's got a great gimmick. He has great personality.
Yeah.
And he's the CMLL World Heavyweight Champion. I think CMLL will explode more that team match of Maximo being the main star of the company.
Yeah.
And even though it's strange that it was placed at second match, I don't think that they could have built that momentum on the show if they had put like a lesser match on the second. They probably would have lost the interest of people. So I think it was unfair for him or Guerrero Maya to be on the second match, but it was like at the right time, you know, this time.
The third match was the Dark Angel and Princess Shergi match. I literally took a bathroom break during this match. That was not the plan or the idea to get away from that.
You left me in charge of trying to keep track of what's going on in a women's wrestling match.
The sad thing is that I was gone for a while and I didn't miss much, and the crowd kind of felt the same. It did not really, wasn't that much into it from the beginning. They got into it maybe a tiny bit by the end, but I think most of it was just a cold reception to the match, and the match, it didn't have... I think this is one of the concerns I had with this match, because with a hero match or a mask match, you have a certain level of intensity and a certain specialness of the moment. And this was something, I think, maybe even not even the same intensity they seem to have in Puebla. It was just, they had their match worked out and they did their spots, but there was an energy missing to the whole thing. And then the post-match, it was a basic farewell, But if you're going to make this the second biggest match and occasion on the show, they need to do a lot bigger ceremony than just having one person come out and give her roses and have Dark Angel talk, because she's got to talk a lot in the last couple of weeks, and she's got flowers at pretty much every show. So there's nothing we had not seen by this point.
I agree. I think the match started so slow. I was surprised. I thought they were going to go faster than what they did. I thought, I wrote this on my Twitter, and I'll repeat it here. It felt like an NXT match, just so slow.
Do you mean like a normal NXT match and not the high-end?
Right, not a high-end NXT match, like a regular girls match that you'd see on NXT. It's almost as if Dark Angel was auditioning or something, because they were doing stuff that I don't think the crowd understood. I kind of got it. They countered each other's moves.
Yeah.
Like, every Dark Angel went for her plancha, and Princess Asuka rolled into the ring, and Dark Angel signaled to the crowd, oh, she got out of the way. Mm-hmm. She was supposed to stay there. But I don't think the crowd understood that. I think the crowd was just waiting for Dark Angel to do the plancha.
So, did they have the same problem as they had Mrs. and Rey Mysterio, where they didn't do a good enough job of establishing these people as opponents coming in?
Pretty much, yeah. Because they even announced, they had Leobardo Magadan do the ring announcing for this.
That was
strange. That was very strange, right?
He
just hopped in the ring, did it, and came back to the announce booth. But he announced Princess Asuka as the Ruta.
Yeah.
But she's a Technica.
Yeah, she's going to be a Technica next week.
Right. Yeah. And then there was a guy sitting in front of me who like turned to his girlfriend and said, this was about 7 or 8 minutes into the match. He's like, I hope this isn't three falls.
Yeah.
It was so slow. It's not just us. The crowd was whistling. They were getting very impatient at times.
Yeah.
Even Dark Angel finally hit her plancha and they cheered, but they were actually, I think, they were booing at the end when Princess Asuka kept kicking out and the match was going on because they were just waiting for it to finish. There was nothing technically wrong with the way they did the finish, but I think if you ask Sarah honestly, or Dark Angel honestly, she would say she wished she had a better farewell match in CMLL.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. It's that match really dragged on, and it's like, I think I was paying more attention to how well my phone was charging since it was starting to run low from taking a whole lot of photos and videos. But it seems like the women better, I think, when we talked about this on the way back, seems like a women better for Dark Angel to have had Amapola or Zeuxis as an opponent rather than Supe.
For whatever reason, there was no chemistry tonight. Mm-hmm. I don't know. There was supposed to be because of their history. And it was announced that it was a one-fall match. So it was like pretty clear. I think it dragged on. And at some points of the match, people were chanting aburrido.
Mm-hmm.
Which is, you know, like a killer, I think.
Mm-hmm. Boring.
It's like boring, boring, boring. Mm-hmm. It's like because sometimes people do that with some technical moves, but then, you know, like, there's a reason why they're doing that, and everything steps up, and it didn't happen tonight.
It's different what women been doing in the last few months in CMLL.
Yeah.
It's different of the matches in the women's division in CMLL. I like more the Lucha Mania match. Maybe we're going to upload the full match this week in Mas Lucha TV.
Which one?
In Lucha Mania Monterrey, when they have the main event at Chicero and Caifan.
I forgot about that match.
I like more that match. And I think people didn't know the history of Princess Asuka and Dark Angel.
That's really where they could use a 3-minute video piece or something,
they
right?
Can't,
before.
They can't show it because it's not their footage.
But they could still have people talk about
it. I heard them mention in the commentary. But
having Dark Angel and Princess Asuka on the screen talking about it would have helped.
Because half of the people didn't know that Princess Asuka took the mask from Dark Angel.
Yeah.
So maybe that would work better if they explain to the people the history of this match. I think they wanted to do like a special match.
Yeah.
They wanted to do like a logical match.
Yeah.
But after seeing Maximo, after seeing the guys that they do all the flying moves and the stuff, and then came through that match and from that logic, I think it was like a part of strange. It wasn't like, I don't want to say it was a bad match, because it wasn't. But it's different what we've been seeing about all the women in CMLL.
Yeah.
I would say this was the, for me, this was the weakest match on the show, yeah, out of the five. Not that it was bad, let's say, but it was the weakest.
Yeah. You would describe it with blame? Like,
it was just, I was bored by it, honestly. I was just not interested. I think, honestly, CMLL needs Stephanie McMahon to save,
no,
save the Divas. She's the same.
I'm expecting more on this match.
Well, for example, on the Chilanga match show last month, the Zuxi Senkera, that was a women's match that I can get into. That was they started slow there too, just they built up more than this match. This match was just too much.
The Dark Angel Zuxi match from that's on the YouTube channel from a few weeks ago, that the Lightning match was better than this match, I thought too. So
I was busy packing Monday. Was this any different than the Puebla match they did?
I think, yeah, it was. They did a lot more in this match, but just sometimes doing more is not more, you know. Mm-hmm. Dark Angel did look great. She got in great shape. She had great gear for her final match.
She looked fantastic.
Yeah.
We're going to upload the Lucha Mania match and more Más Lucha TV.
Okay.
An exclusive.
News breaking here. The next match after that was the Peste Negra versus Dragon Lee, Mystico, and Valiente. Dragon Lee and Mystico had matching outfits. Mystico got cheered entering because the audio guy screwed up and played the Peste Negra music about 30 seconds too soon. And, like, maybe
his mistake was the fireworks failed in one match.
Yeah.
And this is the second fail. Yeah. The music of Peste Negra when Mystico...
And Mystico was still at the top, and then Mr. Yebla comes walking out with Zacharias is dancing, and then there's Mystico just standing there.
It's not like, you know, maybe you hit the... You realize you made a mistake, and... It played for 5 seconds. They just kind of just went on and they didn't care. It was almost like they intended to do it so they could crop the video carefully and sound like Mr. Glue got cheered, because that was the only moment he got cheered in the match. Like every year, like every big show, when they put Mr. Glue out there, they give him the big win and the crowd hates him every single second of the time he's out there. They didn't really like anyone on a Tecnico team because they were Tecnicos going against Peste Negra. They love Negro Casas. They love Mr. Niebla. Felino was also there, but I thought Dragon Lee had a pretty good match. He didn't get to do as much stuff as he would with better opponents, but he got to work with Negro Casas a little bit, and Mystico got the Mystica in the end, two massive boos as usual.
For all the controversy about putting Niebla on the show, considering how his behavior's been this year, I thought he was the hardest working guy on his team. He caught the Dragon Lee head scissors. He caught two Dragon Lee dives. He was the one who took the Mystica at the finish. I think he was out there proving a point that if he wants to, if he's in the right condition, he can still be a valuable person on the CMLL roster.
Yeah.
It just, sometimes he can't do that.
Yeah.
And then Mystica was terrible as usual. I don't know. The guy just doesn't get it. I think he's amazing when he's with Volador Jr. and Valiente, when they do trios matches against Rudos Who Can Catch. Because I think he's a very good second or third guy on a team. But when they make him the star of the match, like tonight, he was the one who did the comeback. He was the one who did the finish and was always the one that was supposed to be cheered. It's not a good role for him. And Dragon Lee was amazing. Negro Casas was kind of, he toned down a bit, but he was good for what he did. And the real star of the match, Kim Onito got to beat up Zachary. That's all I came to see, and I got it. And as a bonus, I got to see Guapito and take a picture after the show. So the only little guy I have left to meet is Aluche.
Yeah.
And then I'll have the whole collection.
What'd you think?
This was a match. I want more Dragon Lee, please, less Mystico. In fact, we were talking about the contrast between Mystico and Dragon Lee is so striking. Not only like in terms of ability, but in terms of their... you know, like, Mystico Fire weighs about 30 pounds less than Dragon Lee, and at least, and I do agree, like, with Mr. Neighbor, that was surprising, like, because I saw him cut, it's because I was trying to take pictures and all that, and I'm like, wait, Mr. Neighbor's catching?
Yeah.
Mr. Neighbor's catching?
And okay. He did good.
Yeah, and, so that was, So, but I mean, probably would have been a better match with someone like who the crowd would actually care for, instead of Mystico.
Yeah. Oh, well, technically,
yeah.
That's, yeah, I was kind of go with Mystico. Like, Flino, yeah.
Switching maybe Valiente and Maximo would have been okay. But Valiente in the bar match, but Maximo in this match.
Yeah. I think one wrestler deserves a spot here, maybe Kamaitachi would be perfect in this match.
Yeah. Yeah, if they could do 2 minutes of Kamaitachi during the lead spots, that would have got the crowd back on the technical side.
Done his head scissors on the apron. He could have done the big drop kick. Because he would have had somebody who trusts.
Yeah.
And I have a chance to talk with Mr. Niebla before the show, and he said that he was 100% ready for this match.
Yeah. And he looked it.
Yeah.
The and the other thing that I noticed is Diego Casas is quite an old guy to be taking Dragon Lee's first stomp.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think, because I posted on Twitter, but for, like, he took Dragon Lee's kicks off, and then the second, and then he's like, oh, he's going to do the first stomp. And how old is Diego Casas now?
56.
Yeah.
Alfredo did an interview with Negro Casas, and I think Negro said that he prefers this kind of style, like Dragon Lee. He likes real, you know, hitting each other, making it look realistic. You know, that's his thing, because he was a big New Japan fan.
Yeah.
So that's more power to him.
Yeah. This, if any show was a show where, like, an old guy impresses you, tonight was the show, because in the main event, an old guy hung in there and did a lot of stuff you wouldn't expect, right?
Yeah.
Anything else?
Like, Negro Casas, I already see what thinks about the new talent of CMLL, and he wants to work with the new talent. That's the same thing with Black Terry. He prefers to wrestle with new guys than the Maestros match.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a really good thing for Dragon Lee. Dragon Lee wants to wrestle with Negro Casas. Mm-hmm. There are another wrestlers who wants to wrestle with Negro Casas, which is really good to have this guy right here, right now in CMLL.
It's, yeah, I'm always talking to you on Twitter about this, that it's, I don't like the promotions where, like, older guys only want to work with each other and they don't want to help the young guys, because where's the future? Where's the future if Negro Casas only wants to work with, you know, like an octagon? You know, you can't have that. You need the Negro Casas versus Dragon Lee, because if nobody passes on everything they know from the old generation, how can the new generation know anything? You can't just, it's like all the old guys who say, they're doing it wrong. Okay, show them how to do it right. Why just say they're doing it wrong and then go to your own show, you know?
And today you have like 30% of the new guys, 20% of new guys in the whole show.
Yeah.
You do good.
Yeah.
Do you think Negro Casas can make super lightweight and get the title shot?
I don't know.
About great.
Yeah, it'd be great. I know they're very strict about enforcing those weight limits in CML, so...
Yeah, Maximo is the one of the smallest guys, heavyweight champion.
And Ultimo Guerrero is a middleweight, and, you know, everything going on.
It's funny when they have the commissioner in the ring presenting for the title match, because in the old days, they would make them actually do the weight.
Yeah, they would actually even announce a weight, but now they don't even bother that.
I remember one time...
I think the last promotion Mexico who made that, it's IWRG.
Yeah.
They don't make it anymore.
Yeah.
I remember a long time ago, there was actually one result, I read it in an old Super Luchas or something, where they said the match was supposed to be for a title, but the guy weighed 1 pound more, so it was just a Lucha Libre scene referee.
Yeah.
Just a special match, no title. Like, can you even imagine today?
No.
Like, somebody didn't make weight. Nobody even pays attention to this stuff.
Yeah,
like, even CML was not so weight as recent as, like, I would say, like, 3 years ago.
Mm.
So it's... But obviously there was, like, they were announcing weights, and, like, obviously that was when, like, Miss Visa was a welterweight, quote unquote.
Mm.
So, but but they were at least paying lip service to that, and now it's.
I was impressed for the cheering for Mr. Niebla.
Yeah.
What would you say? Probably the third most popular guy in the company.
Yeah.
He's very, very.
He's a charismatic.
Yeah.
Character. And he's a good wrestler.
When he's there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think Valiente is the odds-on favorite to win the bodybuilding contest. He's already in shape for it. He had like a 10-pack going on. It was kind of absurd.
It's sad.
It's probably he's gone so far one way that it's hurt other parts of his game. But he was okay here.
Because the last two times I've seen him try the Valiente Especial, he's had trouble steadying himself on the top rope before he jumps.
I mean, when he's stronger, he has troubles to make the Valiant.
It's his own decision, but I like him better as Little Super Astro.
Yeah.
Just like that.
I think people impress more with if he is like more fat.
Yeah.
Or he's all jacked.
Yeah.
And it looks amazing to do a fat guy kind of stuff.
Although he's probably at the age where he should be transitioning to like a Maestro style.
Mm.
And he'd be perfectly fine with that if he if he did like, you know, HSL style mat work or like that all the time. And but I mean, if he wants to still do the Valiant, pull out the Valiant Special, do the Topes, the decision to do the bygoing contests plural, as I found from a Super Libre and really gave recently, he mentioned he was doing something like Muscle Mania or something in next month. So I don't know.
He looks good.
Mm-hmm.
He looks
sure.
Cecilia's not with shaking her head. No.
But not for the character of Valiente. But he has a good body.
Cecilia's like, what the hell are you seeing?
Cecilia's like, what? There's one girl in the room and she says no, so I guess it's
I'm
no.
Sorry.
The semifinal was the
La Parca Doctor. Oh no! Looking at the wrong poster.
You're looking at the wrong poster. It ended up being Rush, Marco Corleone, and Thunder versus Volador, Ultimo Guerrero, and Shocker. Thunder is a horrible professional wrestler who's probably not
human being.
Human being. Call my friend a bad name. How rude!
I didn't do anything to provoke him, and he came after me.
You were just stating facts.
Yeah.
The facts that Thunder is a terrible professional wrestler.
He proved with these punches in this match.
Yeah. Thunder was no good. The other five, though, were really trying, I think, especially Shocker. Shocker was much better than he was last year because he didn't get concussed, but he was also, that last hope he did, they just, like, completely threw himself into and just kind of wiped everybody out. It was pretty cool. Ultimo Guerrero got in some of his big spots, especially the dive over the barricade. I think,
and off the ramp, he got like two dives in.
Yeah, I think years later, the barricade is like a great thing that happened to CML because they worked in like five different new spots that they do in every big show.
Yep.
And no one falls awkwardly into a seat or someone's foot and gets hurt for 4 weeks. Mm-hmm. So I think that worked out.
They hopped the guardrail like three times on the show too.
Yeah. It was, in the earlier match, Scorpion was going to try to do the close the door on the head, but Maximo got out of there quick.
Yeah.
He didn't want any part of that. This one was the one with the worst finish on the show, where Rush just shoved down Tarantes, who must have lost a hair match someplace along the line, and shoved him down to get the DQ because he wanted to keep on stopping Volador. It was really, it came out of nowhere. It didn't mean anything. And since they were going with Volador versus Rush as a thing to come out of it, it would have been better if one cheated to beat the other. But they just decided to do almost like what was felt like a non contest in the DQ because it was so inconsequential. Did you like the match?
I liked the match, yeah. The match was good. Probably my third favorite match on the show. No, maybe fourth. But I mean, there was nothing wrong with it. It was good. I thought it was funny when Shocker stole Marco Corleone's spot and did the hip swivel thing because the crowd reacted to that. Thunder was terrible. Guerrero was good. I love Volador. Volador, Rush, such great chemistry. Rush is so talented. Running from the guy. He at one point, he went behind where the announcers are and he sat in the crowd and just taunted everybody. I'm surprised nobody got a jet because a couple of people threw stuff at him.
Mm.
And then the whole match was built around them chasing each other. The finish was stupid, like you said, Cubs. But Volador did a cool stage dive. Even Rush got in a somersault plancha, which was neat.
Mm.
I could watch those two guys work all day. I really hope that they have a hair match next year and it's not just the tease. For two reasons. Number one, it'll be an awesome match. Number two, Volador is starting to look like maybe he's going to be Princess Azuke's next opponent.
Yeah.
A lot of hair.
Yeah, the best.
I still love you, Volador. Don't worry.
The best and maybe only good thing about LA Park and why you're leaving is that they've moved on to the Volador Rush feud, and for the future, especially if something like this was going to inevitably happen at Wagner and LA Park, it's probably good that we got some good backup feud out of it.
Get them out of there. I mean, they weren't going to be around anyways after the anniversary. They would have to go somewhere else. So Volador just needs some friends because CMLL has no technicals really that can help him. It's always, that's why they always have to do these Relevos Increíbles matches, mm-hmm. where Guerrero has to hop onto one side or Marco has to be on a side that he's not belonging on. Mm. They should get him some technical friends. I don't know who, but
Masquerada is coming back someday.
Yes. Maybe give Titan Guerrero Maya a chance to move up and team with Volador. Just something, you know, fresh. Get it going.
If this was like a different kind of style of promotion, they would bring Guerrero Maya or Titan or someone else on that level up, and maybe they would take both of the pins, but they would at least get the opportunity to be looked at a higher level with facing different guys. But here we get the old guys recycled in different ways.
What do you think, Randy?
So there's a couple. So since I started to go see live lucha shows, I've, you know, seeing matches in different ways a lot of times. You know, brawls are a lot better for me live in general. Thunder's a lot worse live than on TV. Just like the way he throws punches, as you mentioned, the way he runs the ropes even, like, is awful. And at one point he did plancha and Cubs and I just turned to each other and, like, we started laughing and, like, we really see that him do it that badly. So it was, I think that was what my mind was on the entire match. Just like, Thunder is here. Why am I watching him? And anniversary tickets are, you know, the anniversary tickets we had were nice, thanks to Alexis. But we wouldn't, the anniversary price is not what you pay. You wouldn't pay to see Thunder do what he does live. I'm not even gonna say wrestle, but yeah.
Do whatever.
Pretend to wrestle.
Yeah.
You know, there have been big guys like this, and especially in WWE, where this tall guy who comes in jacked and isn't any good, and it seems like they're more willing to cut bait on a guy when they figure out he's not going to do anything and move him down. But CML's been pretty stubborn about going with Thunder and keeping him up there and trying to find a way to get this match. I think if they get that mass match to actually happen, I wonder how long he's going to stick around. Because that's his only value at this point.
I think the only reason he is around is because he's like Ultimo Guerrero's pet project.
Yeah.
And as long as Guerrero just wants his win.
Yeah.
Whenever he gets his win over him, then Guerrero will lose interest because he'll win the feud and maybe we'll see less of Thunder. But
can we get that match next week?
Yeah. It's very depressing to see all the talented guys in CMLL that were at the building, not in their clothes, because they weren't wrestling on that show. And then this guy gets to go out there, and he doesn't even belong in a wrestling arena. Forget about a wrestling ring.
Can be a technical. He can be a
move. No, they try technical.
He can be an exotico, and skills would not be interesting.
Yeah,
I think that's the reason they go to other way, like Rush and Volador, for another huge event for CMLL.
You don't think Thunder Ultimo Guerrero is gonna happen?
I think it's gonna happen. But I don't think keep the people interested in that match.
Mm.
I think it had more logic if we have the Mask versus Harry match in this show, and then the main event show that it's Sombra versus Atlantis.
Yeah.
But I don't think what's going to happen with that Mask versus Harry match. I really want to see what happened with Volador and Rush.
Mm-hmm.
That's a really good new feud. New blood, new guys in CMLL.
Yeah.
What people have been asking for, there it is. There's Rouge against Volador. And that's the new way that goes from this day in CMLL.
Yeah.
The other thing I was going to say, this doesn't have to do with the match specifically, but if you pay attention to what Satanico said on radio shows and interviews and on social media, you know, Satanico was a really good riddle in his day, and it's really kind of sad that part of his legacy is being tarnished by pushing and supporting Thunder so hard the way he is. So, but
it's his own fault.
Yeah.
It's kind of sad to see. It's kind of like sad and eye rolling.
Yeah, everyone has blind spots though, and this is obviously CML's biggest blind spot at the moment.
Biggest, like, tallest.
Tallest, yes.
Bulkiest, or whatever.
The main event was not the Etacons dancing, although they did a good job both times. It was Sombra versus Atlantis, Mask versus Mask. There was less pageantry going into the match than I thought, although Sombra was very well-dressed.
Sombra looked amazing.
they started out the match with Volador and Rush as seconds, even though the big point going in is that Atlantis didn't want any second, didn't want anyone as a second on either side, and that Sombre had all these ex-Atlantis victims who were going to come back and help them. None of them actually played in the match at all.
Were you waiting for Mano Negra?
I was Tier, Vento, and Frugo. I really really wanted to see him. He's a big name. He's carried on.
Talisman was probably backstage.
Yes. He thought it was a good job. Yeah. Both men, they showed they went to the gym. The first fall, Atlantis was going to win with a cradle, but Rush pulled out the referee. And
that, they first have seconds in this match.
Yeah, they had seconds.
They were interfering before all that happened. They were like teasing.
Yes,
Rush was jumping on
and getting the cheap shot.
Volador was like acting, trying to point out to Noriega that Rush is doing something. You know, why don't you punish him?
Yeah, it was almost a playoff what AAA usually does and what WWE does, where the referee gets pulled out, but the referee doesn't DQ anybody for a game pulled out. This time, Edgar Noriega, who was the referee for this match, for whatever reason, ended up DQing Rush and then kicking out both seconds. Where Rambo got involved as a commissioner too, to get both of them out there. There was a long argument. Volador, who did nothing, got thrown out, much of disappointment to the Volador fans.
He didn't do anything. He was just helping. He was helping.
Yes.
Wasn't he? He was pointing out. He was the technical.
He also showing what Naruto did wrong. He speared Bruce at some point.
Yeah. Inconsequential. I didn't see that. I was having a drink at the back. I didn't see any of that.
That was a pleasure surprise. Seeing Edgar Noriega being the referee of this match.
Because they've usually given Torontes the big matches of late. They've given Baby Richard the big matches before. And they were working the semifinal and the special instead. And Edgar,
last year was Baby Richard.
Edgar is usually working the early matches, and he hasn't really... I guess he must be on Sunday, because I don't see him that much. So this is... I think they want certain things done in the match, and they want a certain speed of the counts, maybe even. And the other referees, there's so much you can trust. Surely in the first match, Pompeen was not having a good night with very slow counts.
And getting out of the way.
Yeah. There's a problem with too many old referees, but I think... that's probably not going to change anytime soon. Second fall was the typical CML quick fall, where Sombre won with the Shadow Driver, I think we're supposed to call it, because they keep changing the name. It was the second fall of a major match where it goes 30 minutes and the other guy wins. At that point, it looked like maybe Sombre was going to win two straight falls to win the mask, but instead they had a long third fall with a lot of twists and turns. At one point, Atlantis got Sombre up into the Latita, but Rush came running out, distracted the referee as Sombre was giving up in the hold. So that looked like, well, maybe that's going to be Atlantis' make good and he's going to lose, but there'll be the controversy because he should have won. There was another time where the referee went down and Sombre tried a foul and a mask pull, but Atlantis blocked both and the referee got up and the match just kept on going. I don't remember what the big... The big moment was the double knee smash, right? Because he tried to do it once. That's when Atlantis got him up in the Latita, then Rush came down. Sombre got Atlantis back in the corner, landed the double knee smash, and only got two. At that point, he was running out of moves, basically. And Atlantis, what set up the finish? Do you remember?
Nothing. Sombre just walked right into the Atlantis.
And Atlantis dropped to his knees like he does in the big matches, and Sombre gave up.
Like two back breakers.
Yeah, two back breakers.
And then he got him up, and then once you drop to the knees, it's over. Yeah. There's no getting out of that.
Atlantis did a lot of stuff. He did the middle rope German suplex, which is probably the first and only time.
Sombre took a good flip bump.
Yeah. I think it was more about Sombre wanting to take that flip bump than Atlantis wanting to get up there. Atlantis saved the back breakers for the end, but he did quite a few dives in this match.
Four
dives. Sombre did a few dives.
Three.
Atlantis did the jump over the barricade into the crowd.
Yep. Which would be nice if Guerrero didn't do that in the previous match.
Yeah, they should have had...
Guerrero's going to do it.
Yeah, they should have had Guerrero cut off, so you wanted to see it, but you didn't get to see it, and then you got to see it later. It would have been a bigger deal. But it was still a pretty big deal, because that's not what you expect out of Atlantis. Sombra's family was in tears after the match, especially his mom.
His mom was crying, right?
Yeah. Yes. And Sombra brought his family, his brother, his... uncles and his father and probably a cousin, I'm guessing, into the ring to help him unmask. He revealed his name, which I should have written down right now, but I do not. But and unmasked in front of the crowd. Atlantis celebrated big. The big surprise is that no one threw the money in, because everyone was just, I think, so shocked that it happened. They were not expect. They were just like kind of, everyone was jubilant. The crowd was jumping up and down.
Yeah.
It was 90%, I would say, behind Atlantis. But
Atlantis got some bills.
He got some bills, but
it wasn't just being handed. It wasn't being shouted.
It was not the rain of money you saw with Atlantis and Ultimo Guerrero. No. It was just like, I had money. I was ready to throw it in, but no one else was. So
me
I wasn't
too.
Wasn't going to be the
I
person.
I got the bill. I'm like, okay, but then nobody did it. I don't want to look like an idiot.
I think this match greatly exceeded my expectations, because I wasn't sure how these two guys were going to match. And it really, especially the third fall, it was just super great dramatics.
Yeah, it was. And I was going to make the point that Noriega actually having believable two counts helps a lot, because a lot of older referees will annoyingly have a certain speed for the near falls, and then when they're doing the three count, they'll speed up to somewhat near a normal speed, and that annoys the hell out of me. But
I think the match was excellent. I liked it better than Atlantis versus Ultimo Guerrero, because I'm a AAA fan at heart. Like, my first love is AAA. And these guys did a AAA-style main event match better than AAA could do a AAA-style match. That spot where Rush ran out when he was in the Atlantida was timed so perfect and done so well. And you just know if AAA would have done something like this, the guy would have been late coming to the ring. I mean, we've seen it a million times, but these guys did it perfect. It was nice to finally have a Rudo, because last year Atlantis and Ultimo Guerrero was more technical, because the crowd likes both of them. Mm-hmm. And the year before was Sombra Volador Jr.
They hate both of them.
So I bet they were both wrestling like technicals in the match, even though the crowd hated them. This year, everybody was booing. Well, most people. I was, and I was cheering Sombra, but most people were booing Sombra out of the building. So on the interference. Sometimes you do interference in a big match and the crowd gets pissed off that we paid money for this and you're doing this garbage. But tonight it felt more like they were actually mad at Rush that he was going to cost the legend his mask. Mm-hmm. And they were screaming. The emotion was, I don't know, I read some places on the internet that they said the emotion wasn't as good as last year. But live, the emotion for me was just as much as last year. People were going crazy for everything. Sombra was spectacular. I can't believe Atlantis kept up with him and caught all the moves. The mask grip, the teased mask gripping was really cool, and
tombstone was pretty cool.
Teased tombstone, yep, everything, because Ingo Bernabéu just want to break all the rules. Mm-hmm. The finish was perfect. This is easily one of the best matches I've ever seen live. Maybe the best match I've ever seen live.
I think this match works even better for people who are used to watching CML, because with an Ultimo Guerrero match, you know you're going to get these series of moves at the end.
Yeah.
And this one was completely unpredictable the last 10 minutes. You didn't know what was coming next. And they showed that with the interference early, that anything could happen. I know we talked about it in the way of the car. You thought, on the way there, you thought maybe the respot would rush distracted and Long Mascara ran into the crowd.
I kept watching.
I was looking around waiting for someone to run in at that point, because I thought that was possible. So I think they did a good job just using all the opportunities they had in that match and making the most of it.
They did such a good job that people were at some point cheering Atlantis, and then at some point it was like, I don't know who to cheer for. It's we were just shocked. And watching, you know, the match unfold and participating, being surprised as it was happening. Regarding Noriega, you know, when he appeared with his shiny wrestling boots, I said, you know, the first thing that came to my mind is that he's going to participate a lot. And they need a young guy, and he's going to be moving a lot. So
the other thing I wanted to add is you mentioned the sense of motion. It was just as crazy as last year. The atmosphere was just as crazy, but in a different way. Like last year was just last night is just pure euphoria. Mm-hmm. This year is, I think, I don't know if you could put a single word on it, but it was a different sort of like.
Sense of relief?
Yeah, relief. Mm-hmm. There you go.
Because they thought, a lot of people thought Atlantis, this was it for him. This was his last year. And, I mean, going into it, there was one guy in this room who was pretty sure that Atlantis was going to win. Too early? Okay, I'll save that for the end. Go ahead.
Yeah. Jose, I like the heat of La Sombra, because people are still talking about that he is like this cold wrestler, but he is not.
He had such presence, especially just coming out there. He was a superstar. Yeah.
The Ingobernables, there are more and more into the heat of people here in Mexico. And it's like a different part that we see in the last years in CMLL. I like the match. That's a match of the year candidate for me. I think it's a perfect main event. It saved the whole show. It was like a perfect round at the end of the show in this match. I love the crowd. It was amazing. And at the end, everybody asked Atlantis what comes next. And Atlantis said that, and they Rouge pointed that he's next, that Atlantis is next in his list.
That'd be amazing.
So he said that he's ready. He will continue. So that's not the last apuesta match for Atlantis.
Yeah.
So that's good.
It seems the big CML strategy is just to build the anniversary around Atlantis every year and see how much money they can draw about, is this year he's finally going to lose? I think a post on the Figure Four board where they compared it to The Undertaker, and it's about the same thing at this point, where everyone wants to see a streak keep on going, but they also know that at any moment it could just end right there. It seemed like because Rush made very clear that he wanted Atlantis next, that we have maybe Rush and Volador versus at Humanidad dos Leyendas in March, maybe. And maybe the winner of that comes to the anniversary show. I think the Atlantis match means so much, and that the winner of the Rush Volador match would have never lost their hair and have had just came off a big win, that they probably can do another good attendance. Maybe something where it's just 80-85% like it was today, but even then, that's a huge, huge gate for CML compared to what they're doing normally.
Especially if they can charge anywhere close to the prices they have been charging.
Yeah.
Just as you say, like, it plays your love, you know, CML, that's how I came to watch Lucha. And I think this match also summarizes what has been interesting to me, at least from CML, is how somebody who's very experienced has been working with somebody who's very experienced but very young. You know, he started at 14. That's what they told us. And you know, Atlantis did not look in this match as somebody who's more than, you know, like he didn't look his age at all. And Sombra, you know, he was the young guy, but he did not made the mistakes of a young guy. He was like, you know, he was calculating, he was doing his thing. So to me, it was also the perfect sense of, you know, what I like about Lucha too, where these generations can work together and bring you the best about a sport and show and everything and move the emotions of so many people who you can see, you know, everywhere, like coming from very different backgrounds, because you can see people that paid a lot for a ticket, people who pay you know, much less, but everybody was invested in the match.
I was talking when we made the vignettes of Guerreros Maya, I was taking one person in charge of CMLL. And I asked him, who's the biggest superstar in CMLL? And he said Atlantis. What happened today, it's La Sombra recognizes as a legend. La Sombra was tired after the match, which everybody thinks that Atlantis will be busted out after the match. And La Sombra said, I am really tired. All the strategy failed of what I think, what I wanted to do to end with Atlantis, and he was really sad about losing his mask. But I think CMLL and Lucha Libre wins a new figure, a new Rudo figure. Right now there is no Paraguayo, there is maybe Pentagon in AAA and La Sombra in CMLL mm-hmm. are the bigger guys right now in Mexican wrestling.
And now they're two very different. One's the masked crippler guy that's going to break your arm. Mm-hmm. You know, he can talk. The other guy is just the cocky, no mask now,
yeah.
good looking guy, you know, likes the rules, has a group behind him. Mm-hmm. And he's kind of like a leader, you know. Yeah. Pentagon Jr. is still not a leader. He's still mm-hmm. kind of a follower mm-hmm. in AAA.
Because, some people think that Rush was the face of Ingobernables, mm. and right now I think La Sombra is
definitely.
It's the leader of Ingobernables.
Yeah.
So he's a modern Rudo. Mm-hmm. He's not your typical Rudo.
No.
Like old style mm-hmm. Rudo. No. It's
a new age of CMLL. Yeah. Then. All the young guys without masks. Interesting.
Yeah, I think the other upside is of Sombra losing his mask is that we're almost definitely going to get another Volador Sombra here,
yes.
a plus a match at some point down the road, and that'll be a super great match, especially since people see them as bigger stars, and hopefully this time they'll be able to advertise the match that's happening beforehand. I think that'll do. That should be an anniversary match, but it'll be a big match whenever they do that match.
Me and Dina are doing hair versus hair.
Yeah.
I'm Volador, she's Sombra.
Yeah.
What hair? Podcast, they can't see.
Yeah.
La Sombra name, Manuel Alfonso Andrade Oropesa.
Yeah.
25 years old, 11 as a wrestler from Gomez Palacio Durango.
Yeah. The thing about him being unmasked is that, you know, he had his whole family in the ring, so we kind of had an idea what he might look like before unmasked.
Yeah, he looks so much like his father.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah. yeah.
Overall,
and his uncle.
Yeah.
El polifacético pollo.
Yep. Yeah.
I remember. Oh, pollito.
One thing to keep in mind in terms of the age difference here, Atlantis has been wrestling for several years longer than somebody has been alive.
Yeah,
so.
Very long. I would put this anniversary not as good as last year, because last year had a better overall show, and 2013 was one of my favorite shows ever. So, but out of 10, I give this show 8.5, mostly for the main event. The main event gets more than a 10. It's like a 12, 13, 14 out of 10.
Yeah.
But just the lack of a second major match hurt it. The Dark Angel match wasn't anything special for me. And yeah, that's what 8.5 probably.
Yeah, an 8. Although if you're a really big Sombra fan, like our friend Arisa, who got into wrestling.
That was the crying Japanese.
Who got into wrestling because she saw Sombra at a G1 show and kind of got into Lucha from there and bought front row tickets to see him win. And he did not win.
So now you see why she was crying. Can you imagine? She thought for sure he's going to win, and that's her reason for being here.
Yeah, and it did not turn out.
For reporters from Japan, there was one message for Naito.
Yeah.
It said that Sombra is coming back to New Japan.
Yeah.
I think in the future, maybe it's more New Japan for Sombra.
Yeah.
Yep.
And I don't discard that maybe in a future to see Sombra in WWE.
Yeah.
He's good looking.
Do you think New Japan's going to be happy is happy they got in mass, or do they carry the way?
I don't know. They were really surprised for the Sombra losing the match today.
Yeah.
They were really surprised. I think they're going to be in front pages of Japan's magazines.
Yeah. But so, I mean, it worked for Volador. Volador's fine now without the mask. Sombra will be just as fine.
Yeah.
You said that we might see Sombra in WWE someday. I should clarify that Sombra did not lose because he's going to WWE tomorrow.
He's not
joining the other people that are going
a
right
lot
now.
Of people
I think
are asking him.
In the future.
Yeah.
Maybe he can go to WWE.
He's 25.
New Japan is really good.
Yeah.
He enjoys to be resident in Japan.
Yeah.
So if he goes to WWE, you know where.
Yeah, you know the blame. Cops. Yeah, I called it 9 years ago.
They're still going to message him all day tomorrow.
Yeah,
oh, so you're, that's going to be the headline, like Cubs fan reports via Jose Manuel.
I asked him. When he have the press thing, I asked him if he listened the words of Finn Balor. And he said he appreciate all those words, and maybe in the future he... He's 25 years old.
Yeah.
He can do whatever he wants.
Yeah.
Of course, Finn Balor's not that young anyways. And look, everybody thinks that he's the future of WWE. Sombra's like more than 10 years younger than him.
Yeah.
So.
Who knows what the future has?
Yeah.
You can see a big change now with the face expression of La Sombra.
Yeah, that it seemed like he could do, he had good face, and that he could take advantage of not having a mask. So some guys, I mean, there's a default position that everyone gets to be, everyone's masked, even if it's a good idea or a bad idea. And some guys we've seen, once they lose a mask, they're better off. They can tell a story better that way. I don't think Sombra was held back by that much, but it gives him new possibilities now that he's unmasked.
And he'll have a new t-shirt next week.
Yeah. Yeah.
All the t-shirts today, Sombra. All I got my Ingobernables hoodie.
Yeah.
I'm happy.
I think, like we said, Atlantis is a far more popular person, but I think the t-shirts being sold the most were the Ingobernables, or at least outside. That was very popular. A lot of people liking the black shirts, the new design.
Did any of the press bring up Parker or Wagner after the show? Did anybody ask about Parker?
No, not if they want to continue being CML, CML
didn't tell you weren't allowed to, right?
No.
Okay. I just want to know if, like, because going into the show, the big story was Parker Wagner, but CML put on such a good show and a main event that everybody's talking about, that now I didn't hear anybody asking about Parker Wagner.
No, he has no reason to ask. I asked last week.
Yeah.
It's an old story now.
Yeah.
And that's the way you do it with good wrestling.
Yeah.
Show.
That's how it should be. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
How different about the two biggest shows in Mexico?
Oh, boy. You're going to get us in trouble if you talk bad about
Trump. No. But it's so much different.
Yeah.
And I see all the reactions in our social media when the Triple Mania finished and when the CMLL show finished. Because when Triple Mania, everybody went mad about what happened.
Yeah.
And in here, there are a lot of who are happy and a lot of who are mad for the result.
Yeah, I think it's somewhat just based on card order. If they, for whatever strange reason, had the Rush Boulder match last and it had the bad finish on the show, I think people have been it would have been more down on the show. And Triple A had the Mysterio Mysticist match, which had a finish, but it had a whole bunch of stuff that made you clear that you were buying chapter one of his story and not the final chapter. Here you got a big ending. You got a conclusion at the end of the year. They did try to build to next year by having Rush versus Atlantis teased, but they gave you a complete story for this year that you got everything you came to pay for.
To go full circle now, back to the beginning, we talked about the iPay-per-view. CMLL left even though people were watching illegally and a whole bunch were, everybody left with a good impression.
Yeah.
Not like Triple Mania where everybody paid for it but left with a bad impression.
Yeah.
Here, they left a good impression so that let's assume CMLL can get their shit together and figure out how to actually do this correctly and only the people who pay can watch. I think they'll actually have an audience that will pay to see the show just because they got to see this and they're very happy with how it turned out.
I don't want to cost people their jobs, but the person who was in charge of the size pay-per-view should not be in charge of anything like this anymore.
Any other sort of financial management.
Yeah.
YouTube will
help.
They
will listen to the last podcast.
Yeah.
They will listen.
Maybe they'll listen to this one. Guys, YouTube will help you. If you ask YouTube, they will set it up so that only people who pay can watch.
Yeah.
You cannot do it yourself, and you cannot have somebody who works in your company do it for you, even though he has no technical expertise.
Yes.
Hire a Cubs fan. Cubs knows what to do.
No. Don't hire me. Just at least take me off the mailing list. Someone's going to get the emails about, refund?
The Triple Mania one is worse. I get so much spam from that internet TV thing.
Yeah. I was subscribed list. I'm the only person who can find this. But
you're the only one who can find it.
But I got like five of those emails at once, so that was the end of that.
I got 15 today,
so
it's bad.
A certain marketing of spam is what I would do, and then
some go into spam, but some get into the inbox because they're different subjects. Okay.
Anyway, so that's a whole different issue.
So you would say that people probably got mad on like how it ended up being with Triple A because they expected a lot more.
Yeah, they expect a lot from Mysticist's Rey Mysterio match.
Yeah, this was a much better match than that.
From that, and then, you know, in this case with CML, what they did is, like, they did not try to oversell what they were presenting. Just you know, this is what we have. And then they you know, people went out, you know, well, it was not only enough, it was very good.
Mm-hmm.
Sissy, what would you rate the show?
8.5, 2. Yeah.
I would give it an 8. And I was really surprised how well my summer went. I don't know. I was expecting, like, sort of on level up, Atlantis Ultimo Guerrero from last year, maybe a little bit better. Wasn't really sure of how the chemistry would go in a mask match. Obviously, somebody can do these Engel Monopoly stuff week after week and after week in random trios matches, but in a mask match, you know, wasn't sure how that would play out, so... I kept my expectations kind of muted for that one, but it turned out to be a really dramatic third fall, and I enjoyed the show overall, and didn't really enjoy Thunder, didn't really enjoy didn't really enjoy the Dark Angel match, but everything else was at least, you know, pretty fun to watch. So
how would you rate?
I think I put 5.
Yeah. The main event made a lot. If they did not deliver on that main event, I think people would have had problems with that show, but they completely delivered on it, so.
So tomorrow we go to, some of us, go to Lucha Boom.
Lucha Libre Boom, yep.
Yeah.
And we were supposed to see the debut of Sombra and Nast, but now we won't because of the problems. So instead we get to see everybody else.
Yeah, I don't think I've seen the complete card, but. We know that it's, was it?
No, we know who's, Golden Magic and Emperador Azteca are replacing Kuma and Tiger. That was it. There's no other CMLL guys that were supposed to be on the show.
Well, the main event got changed.
Except for that. Yeah. But the undercard should be good. The Indie Strongtables, love them. They're going to be in a match. That's going to be good.
Yeah.
Last match was great against La Saeta del Ring.
Yeah. So, very excited to see that. My first time, I think my first time in Deportivo Tlali.
Yeah, we went to the building next door for an IWL show a couple of years ago, but that's about it. But we haven't been to this arena, so it'll be a good time.
Be a good time. And then Sunday we got 2 shows, and we'll see.
Yeah.
Thank you very much for giving your insight, Jose Manuel.
No, thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
4 a.m. in the morning.
Yeah, thanks for staying at 4 a.m. We have an earthquake coming in 6 hours, so we've got to wrap this up.
Sleep
in,
yeah.
No.
But don't say that. We have an earthquake...
Evacuation drill.
Because
I'm taking it so seriously that it's an earthquake actually gonna happen.
No, but don't say you know what?
It's the anniversary.
It's the anniversary and it's 30 years.
Yeah, so
it's the only time 19. Only time the anniversary show was cancelled.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And the buses no?
Everything was
down. So hopefully it'll just be a normal day tomorrow.
Cool.
Congratulations to Atlantis.
Yeah, congratulations.
And CML.
We'll see you back next year when you take Russia's here.
Awesome legend of wrestling in general.
Yeah. They need to put him in the They need to put him in the Hall of Fame a second time.
Second, just like I asked you earlier, Jose. Second only to Hijo del Santo. First Hijo del Santo. Now, in terms of important mask match wins, Atlantis.
And thank you for not disappointing. Kids and I, you know, when I said ídolo de los niños is because I actually encountered a kid in the restroom with his mom, and you know he was getting all excited, like, you know, we have to get back to our seats because the mask match is going to to begin, and she was like calming him down, no not yet, don't worry. And so I asked the kid, you know, who are you rooting for? It's like Atlantis, obviously.
But we did see a kid walking away very sad in the somber t-shirt after the show. So the kids were conflicted on this one.
Yeah. I know my sobri was.
So, thank you guys. It's a pleasure to have you here.
Thanks for coming here. Thanks for driving us around.
No problem.
We will be back.
Follow Mas Lucha TV.
Yeah, follow Mas Lucha. You're going to get complete matches soon, as we just heard. So
we're going to start with a new part. Of Mas Lucha TV. We hope to get new surprises and big surprises with Mas Lucha. And thank you for your supporting.
Mm-hmm.
We're trying to do our best.
You know how you have the playlist broken down, the CML and AAA and everything? Maybe you need a playlist with like complete matches so people know that's where all the...
Oh, okay.
And thank you especially for the Chilanga match.
A lot of
us foreigners.
Yeah. I think everyone listening to the show has either seen that show or really needs to go watch it as soon as they're done listening to it. Because it's a really good show.
In the magazine we gave you, the Odessa Steps put together.
Yeah.
It's got like 3-4 pages this guy Matt wrote about the show.
Your favorite writer?
In depth. Every show, every match I think except the Pagano match.
Yes.
He wrote about everything else. Yeah. So. And he would have been able to do that if you guys did put the show up in full for everybody.
Yeah, we're going to try to do more of that stuff. Mm-hmm. And we're going to have full matches. Mm-hmm. And a surprise.
Yeah, surprises are good.
All right.
We have a huge surprise. Lucha Blog is going to be the first source.
No, don't give it away on this podcast. No. Nobody reads Lucha
Blog. No. I know.
Save it for a big website.
Yeah.
I can name the wrestlers who check Lucha Blog and Rob Piper and TKD.
Wait till he turns the podcast off.
Yeah.
That nobody apparently crashed when...
Yeah, my site crashed without even writing anything on it today. So I think I need a new site. I think I need new sponsors to pay for a new site or something. But thanks for listening. It's 4:03 a.m. and we have to get up in like 5 hours or something. I don't know what it is.
Why?
Oh, no. 6 hours? 7 hours?
I'm waking up just before the earthquake drill.
You're waking up by the earthquake drill sirens. So we'll tell you how that adventure goes tomorrow. We'll probably have a podcast late Saturday night, early Sunday morning. Thanks for listening to this. Thanks for keeping up with these. And we will talk to you later.